Welcome to the full Tracy Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:09 Pacific Standard Time. Well, today is January 28th. And we saw oil today pushing to a new low. That WTI was down almost $2. When you look at the S&P, that the leading decliners, I think the top 10 leading decliners were all in the oil industry. When you look at some of the shares, you saw at the end of last year that companies like Ensco and Denbury Resources had these upside key reversals. Tullow Oil in the UK had been stabilizing in the region of its December low, that people were starting to bet that oil was close to as low as it was going to go, and that, you know, some value was coming back into these shares. Well, that might well yet still be the case, but with oil pushing to new lows, that forced some people to exit their positions, and there was a number of these companies dropped pretty aggressively in here today. Well, it's interesting that when you look at the S&P, that the leading decliner was Nabors Industries. It was down about 12%. And the leading advancer was Electronic Arts, which is about as far from the extraction sector as you could possibly get. The second largest advance was in Apple, which was up about 6%. Well, you're seeing this really quite a marked differentiation now between sectors that are exposed to the resources or the extraction industries and those that aren't, those that are benefiting from the weak energy prices and those that are highly exposed to a weak energy price. Well, the issue though is that because the energy companies were spending such an incredible amount of money in expanding their infrastructure, that the cancelling of all these additional spending plans is going to have a short-term, at least a short-term impact on the economy. Well, long-term government bond prices today were stronger by a point in 20, 30 seconds. So almost, well, not far off, two full points up. We're continuing to see a contraction in government bond yields. Well, the government bonds are looking, our bond markets more generally, are looking at the situation, and they're not making a differentiation between deflation and disinflation. Their attitude is that it's an academic consideration whether this is disinflation or deflation, because the result is going to be the same, that the chances of interest rates being hiked in this type of environment are pretty low. That we're going to have this liquidity fuel environment for quite some time, but that generally speaking, since that's the case, that there isn't any real reason that one shouldn't own government bonds, and that because you have this disinflationary environment where energy and commodity prices are coming lower, that the momentum that is behind the move in government bonds is still very much in play. Well, that you can't really argue with that that type of argument, considering the chart action that we're presented with at right now. Well, now let's look at the stock market. The S&P 500 hasn't really done anything this year so far. It's really been ranging for the last 2 months, and it's down about 2.6% to year to date. It's still finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it was down 1.25% in here today. So the chances are that we're going to go back to test the region of the 200-day moving average. In fact, we're probably around that level at present. It's around the 2,000. The most recent reaction low is in the region of 1970. Well, we could have the possibility that with a mixed earnings season, well, the two big considerations are that the dollar has been particularly firm and the oil price has been particularly weak. On the one hand, the strong dollar is sapping the consolidated earnings of major multinationals on Wall Street, in that the dollar has been so strong that their foreign earnings are worth a little bit less when they're brought home. And the weakening oil price has just erased the potential for capital investment from that sector. Well, capital investment from the oil sector has really been a real tailwind for the US economy over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's also been a major contributor to employment. Well, some of those people are going to be losing their jobs, and the people that still have jobs are going to have more money in their pockets because they're going to have to pay less for, well, gasoline, transportation, heating and cooling. So in the short term, the lower energy price represents a headwind for a capital investment and certainly the substantial weighting of energy companies in a number of the indices. But for the companies that are reliant on the consumer, this is wonderful news that their customers now have more money with which to buy their products. So we're going to see this rotation, and there's plenty of evidence of that in the performance of the indices in here today. Well, with energy prices coming down and this disinflationary environment that we have, the ECB has engaged in this, well, is about to engage in this historic trillion euro quantitative easing program. Well, we could argue all day about the relative merits of quantitative easing, but we have plenty of evidence that quantitative easing inflates asset prices. Well, we have a little bit of a short-term overbought condition in indices like the DAX, but it was up by 0.75% in here today. Well, there is potential that some of that might be unwound if we get additional weakness on Wall Street, but that you'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside over the medium term, considering that Europe is a major energy importer, and considering that they're about to print, or they're about to increase the supply of money by 50%. Well, that's a lot of money. 60 billion euros a month for the next 18 months is a lot of money, and it is going to definitely help the balance sheets of a number of companies, and not least those that are seeking funding. Well, today you saw that the Monetary Authority of Singapore tightened up its band for appreciation of the currency. Well, the Singapore dollar has been among the strongest currencies in the world since about 2000. Between about 2002 and 2012, it was in a pretty consistent uptrend against the US dollar. It's really been topping out over the last 2 years, and the dollar broke out against it late last year. Well, just like the US Treasury has a strong dollar policy, the Singapore authorities talking today about still anticipating that the Singapore dollar will appreciate by 1% a year rather than 2% a year is pretty meaningless when it's falling at such a prodigious rate relative to the US dollar. Well, that's symptomatic of the weakness that you're seeing in Asian currencies, and that you've seen the type 3 top formation completion on the Asian dollar index. Even when you look at the renminbi in China, that it's been appreciating and pretty much unwound the devaluation from about 20 years ago, but that it's unlikely to get very much stronger from here, that China doesn't need to have the strongest currency in the world, and that's particularly the case when the US dollar is coming off its lows. Well, those are medium-term considerations, that the euro has been very weak, and it's pretty difficult to come up with a bullish case for the euro, but that it is oversold in the short term and therefore a bit more risky. When we take a step back and we look at the volatility indices, well, we haven't had a spike higher in volatility, but that the absolute level of volatility has held at a higher level than it has been for nearly 2 years. On aggregate, volatility is increasing. Well, considering that you're getting this rotation out of the resources or extraction sectors, and that the consumer sector should benefit over the medium term from this, then the potential for increasing volatility, and not least because of the extreme moves that we've had in commodities and in currencies, well, then the likelihood of increased volatility has really been bolstered as a result of that. Well, when you then think that the S&P has got a lot going for it and the US economy has got a lot going for it, but that there's been an awful lot of debt taken out to invest in increasing supply of commodities, and that, well, we're going to have at least some of that turn into pretty distressed situations. Well, the possibility is that the S&P may not be the index that outperforms this year, and that other parts of the world are looking a bit more attractive at the present time. Well, I'm tempted to short the Nasdaq, or, well, probably not the Nasdaq, but the S&P, but I'm a bit reluctant to do it considering just how volatile we've seen markets, and I'd really be waiting, personally at least, for a breakdown. Or a rally up towards the highs once more before doing it. I'm reluctant to do anything in the middle of the range. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for the afternoon and wish all the best to all of you.